Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. If you have ever wondered about the Church of Jesus Christ, what it means to be a member, why membership even matters, why the Lord gives us gifts, and how we can be useful in His body, well, this is a message we're going to look at that hopefully will help you to appreciate and value being a member of the body of Christ. What a privilege to be a member of His very body. That's what we're considering today on Abounding Grace Radio as we consider gifts and how God fits us in and composes the body that we might use our gifts for the common good, the edification of that body, and the glory of her head, Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. The phone number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We do have an Abounding Grace app, and we are also on Facebook. So do please visit us on Facebook, give us a like, and make a comment there. We'd love to hear from you. Well, here now is the message, which I have titled, Before We Address Tongues, Let's Talk Church. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope it's a blessing to you. And how do we see that play out locally? Well, you see that in the sacraments, don't you? Sure you do. He says that here. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made, notice the allusion here to the sacraments, to drink of one spirit. He's using sacramental language, and he's helping us understand in baptism you were welcomed into this body. You were initiated into this body. It's a sign and a seal. It signifies a washing and being joined to Him. You drink Him in the supper. Special blessings of the body. What a beautiful thing the sacraments are, aren't they? Wonderful. I don't think we thought about that enough. Am I wrong to say that? What are the implications of that? I believe there's probably a very, and I know that about this church, there's a strong consensus here that membership matters. Strong consensus among us that membership matters. But I'm sure you know that living in a church, you're living in a church environment today where that's not a shared consensus. Many of you maybe even struggle with, you value it, but you wonder, is it just something thrown on us by the elders? Or is it really even a biblical concept? Think of how this thinking has prevailed in our culture today, in the church. Most people think, I'm going to choose a church that best suits me and what is easiest for me, and if something happens that I don't like, I can change that and I can go and do what suits me. We really do approach this like we approach a lot of other things. It's a voluntary institution, we think, and we can come and go from it at our own good pleasure. And no one should ever tell me that I really have to do it. I mean, that wouldn't you agree that's a common approach to this today? We really do have this struggle of thinking that way about the church, and what do we incessantly deal with as elders? Well, we deal with this. We deal with this problem. People move away, and maybe it's a young person, maybe it's an older person. And I don't know how it got there, but there's been a lack of any concept or appreciation for the fact that there is to be a local commitment made at a local level, at a local church. There's no sense of that commitment that is necessary for people today. It just seems to be gone. And so most of the time we call, and you should understand this, parents, if this is troubled you and you've struggled with this, our goal is to love the body of Christ, to love all of the body of Christ whom the Lord has put under our care, and we call them and we encourage them, and it's a tough thing to do. We have to do it lovingly and carefully, but the challenge is almost universally we get this sense of from people today that we're intruding into their lives. That's the sense we get. This is an intrusion. Oh, there's that strict church again that's, you know, antagonizing us. Nobody else does this. You know, that's the battle. That's the struggle. And you get a statement like, leave me alone. You ever thought about that? Leave me alone. Now, he just said you were baptized into Christ. That's all of our children. Do they have that right? It's something to think about, isn't it? We've heard, I'm the church. Why would I have to be accountable to anyone else but me? And then you go back to, whoa, baptism and then in the supper, you promised you'd never say that. You were made a member of the body, and we care for you, and we love you, and we want you to be involved, and to be involved in a way that honors Christ at the local level, which is an expression of you belonging to Him. I'll never forget years ago when I was wrestling with this issue, and they had these old R.C. Sproul tapes. Now they're in the VHS. They're just amazing. We had VHSs. But they were VHS tapes, and he was doing all these discussions with young students, high school, college-age students. I'll never forget the question as they were all sitting in the group, and he said, do you think you need to attend a church? And it was startling in the group that around the way, they all said, why would we need to do that? And then one girl piped up and said, you know, she responded and said, well, I don't think, you know, you need to do that to be a Christian. Common thought. I'll never forget what Sproul said. Not only did he quote Hebrews, which said we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but then he said something that's always stuck with me, and I thought it's been immensely helpful. Maybe it'll help you. I don't know how anyone could say that they love Jesus and not his body. I never lost that. Listen to the Belgic. We believe that since this holy assembly and congregation is the gathering of those who are saved and there is no salvation apart from it, people ought not to withdraw from it, content to be by themselves, regardless of their status or condition. People are obliged to join and unite with it, keeping, listen to this, the unity of the church by submitting to its instruction and discipline. You say, why? Well, what have you considered in the first part of Corinthians? You've considered that you need a message that has the power to save you, and you can't just get it anywhere. He told you, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. He told you, you need a ministry. You need to be served the gospel, and that's something that every person needs. There's something very special that happens when the gathering comes together and the gospel's preached. The Lord loves to save in that environment. Isn't that wonderful? Loves to save. Bring salvation. And then we say in the Heidelberg that every member should consider it a duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service enrichment of the other members. So when a person floats around and treats the church, you know, like a menu at the Chinese restaurant and never really becomes a member and never has any obligation to use any of his gifts, what is he? Well, he receives all the privileges of membership without any responsibilities. And Paul, what he's doing here, and you'll see how this gets to the tongues issue, What he's doing here is explaining how we are to think about ourselves as Christians. And his driving point is to say this: you don't exist independently. You forfeited that when you came to Christ. You are not your, what's the first thing the Heidelberg says? Own. You were bought with a price. And Paul explains now, in light of that, how the body works. What he does in this section is so beautiful and important, using the metaphor of the human body to say, you even know in your own bodies you don't function the way that you're treating the church. If you functioned in your body the way that you're treating the church, you wouldn't be able to leave the house because your parts would be spilled out everywhere. I didn't have that in my notes. That didn't really work, but I think you get the point. Notice what he says in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. See? And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense be of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? If your foot looked up at you tonight and had a little mouth on it and said, I'm no good because I'm not a hand, and I don't want to be in this body anymore, I want to be out of this body, what would you do? Well, you'd take the hand and slap the foot, right? If your ear ever said, I don't have the ability to see, therefore I want out, I want to leave the body, and the ear says, well, by the way, you have no right to tell me that I have to be a member of this body, I'm going to go and be an ear on my own. You know that's madness. It just doesn't work, does it? Well, now start to think about what the Lord did when you came to Christ. Do you get his point? Let's make it stronger. He does. There are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That's not even a possibility, right? Well, why do we think that's a possibility with Christ's body? Why do we treat him that way? Why are you behaving like a foot with a mouth trying to give the body of Christ the boot? You're members of it. And that comes to expression locally. Paul says, think of your own bodies. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. You know that. I've used this before, but I think it just works. You know the story of Dizzy Dean, don't you? Dizzy Dean was the famous pitcher for the Cardinals, and as the account goes, in the 1937 All-Star Game, Dean broke his toe fielding a grounder. And the injury continued to plague Dean throughout the rest of his career, so that he had to overcompensate with his arm, and finally, because of the bad toe, threw out the arm. You see? Paul says, on those parts of the body we think are less, what do? Well, my hands are pretty important. You see anything on my hands tonight? A ring? That's it. I don't put anything extra on them. What about my feet? Many of the women here paint their feet, soak their feet. Some of the men say, I don't want to pay for that. And they put fancy shoes on them. The next time your husband gives you grief, you can say, well, see, Paul said we can give honor to our feet. You give honor to those parts of the body that are esteemed less. Here's where it all goes tonight. Look at the mess in Corinth. They are caught up with the sign gifts. They're looking for power in all the wrong places. They're looking at those who are deemed as doing the great things in the church. And the little pinky toes were marginalized. They were undermined. They were undervalued. and their gifts were thought to be nothing, so they were not used. When you've created an environment that's about that, when you've created an environment that's about the show, only about the super spiritual ones, when you create an environment that's about using just the tongue for tongue speaking, you've divided the body. You've created a host of takers and not givers. When people blatantly choose to neglect their gifts in the body of Christ, they become like Dean's bad toe. They're like the bad toe, and other parts of the body then try to compensate, and the whole thing is out of whack, and then everything starts hurting. It's just a tragedy. I see a lot of serving in the Escondido United Reformed Church. I see a lot of saints use their gifts, but I want you to think about this tonight. The manifestation, he says, of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. And then he outlines these gifts that Christ has poured out on the church, concluding that the Spirit manifests himself by distributing to each one as he wills. The whole building holds firm as each person uses what the Spirit has given him. It really does challenge tonight our view of the church. Do we come here and think, okay, the ministry of the gospel is what has changed our lives? Amen. I have been saved through the foolishness of the message preached, and I remember when the Lord opened up my mind to receive that, and the glory of that, and the wonderful way He served me. Grace was given through the gospel preached. I think sometimes in our zeal to recover that, a high view of the means of grace, which we should have, and I'm all for it, and you know that I've preached it strong. I've been wanting to recover that. I want to see it strong. Are we balanced in saying this? If you stop there, that's like reading the first two parts of the catechism and axing off the third. If you stop there, that's like axing off the third section of the catechism. What is the third section of the catechism? Gratitude. If I, the Lord, and your teacher have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. Or, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, notice this is the context of coming together, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession, we did that tonight, of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let me skip a verse here for a minute and read the second part of this. Don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. Do you know what brackets that? It's this. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And then you should encourage one another as you see the day drawing near. Belgic says this: we should bend our necks under the yoke of Christ by serving to build up one another according to the gifts God has given them as members of each one another in the same body. See? The only way that's possible is for us to have a good, strong view of what we're a part of and what you've been joined to. And that's exactly what Paul does here. He reframes our whole thinking of the church in verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? Verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And he says it again in verse 24. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. In other words, don't neglect the little gifts. Don't think they're little. What's little is great. That there may be no division in the body. You need to understand it's not some voluntary thing that we're a part of that you pay the dues in and run out. It's this living organism. It's such a privilege to be a part of the living body of Christ. And when he baptized, when the sign of baptism was put on you and you were initiated and brought into his covenant family of love, and then you drink him by the Spirit, you need to realize he has brought you into that body and he sustained you in that body. He's made you a living member in that body, and you get a privilege to serve in that body. Just as your common experiences of the little parts on your body that you need, so you are composed into Christ's body and you are relevant and important to the whole. And that's why it hurts when someone dies, doesn't it? There are times to leave a church. There are times to move on. But I've also seen people barge out angrily and leave the whole family. And I think to myself, they just pulled out from under us a foot, right? And didn't even care. It's like a soldier who suddenly loses his leg. It's painful. You were a member. You are a member of that body like the foot is a member of the body. And that should cause some care in how we treat the body, shouldn't it? God ordered this so that your members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, guess what we're all doing together? We're all suffering. We're all crying. We're all weeping. We're all embracing. If one member is honored and one member is really being blessed by the Lord, we all enter into the joy of their excitement. John Stott once said, "What does the layman really want? The regular churchgoer? He wants a building that looks like a church, clergy dressed in the way he proves, services he's been used to be left alone." Is that true? Thus do laymen abandon the God-given tasks and the professional clergy pick them up to the church's impoverishment. You say tonight, "Well, I don't still feel like I know what my gifts are. You kind of beat me up, Pastor. I don't know what my gifts are." Well, let me say this. God loves to use the things that you love to do. I don't want to throw that out. He loves using your talents, your likes, your abilities, and he does give a supernatural gift or gifts sovereignly bestowed upon us so that you are vitally necessary to how the whole body functions together. Every part is useful. And so don't despise the little things. Luther used to say in his preface to the book of Romans, "Faith doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before it's asked, it's done them." You don't have to go figure it out. Before you've even asked, you're doing them. And you know how many people I've talked to, and they, "I don't really know what I'm doing," and yet they have encouraged me beyond. Didn't even know they were doing it. Just to be active and present, works will follow. I'll close with this tonight. One pastor tells of a church that had a real bad reputation in the community. History of conflicts, fights, splits, nothing but problems. Here's what the pastor said happened. "Many in the church were sick of the strife and responded to the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel. As a body, they began to act and look more like Christ. Gossip died down. The gifts of the Spirit began to flourish. The deacons began to send flowers to the hospitalized and sick in the community. Hot meals were taken to the chronically ill persons. A spirit of prayer and intercession began to come into their prayer meetings. Visitors were impressed by a new attentiveness in the Sunday worship services. One of them remarked, 'Before, when I visited, everyone just read their bulletins and looked around and there was no engagement. The youth were disconnected. But now, they listen like hungry people. The change is so mysterious, it's frightening. It's the greatest privilege to be here. And even if you're just a doorkeeper in the Lord's house, you hold a great spot. You're holding it over for the master. And remember what Jesus said on that day when he's there and he's looking and he says, 'You gave me a cup of cold water.' And you said, 'When did we ever do it for you?' When you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me." God has fit every one of you expressed here locally into the body. And if you understand the doctrine of the church, and you understand that you're a member of that, that he did that, you're going to appreciate how then you serve and how you're vital to being an encouragement to the whole stimulating one another to good works, and then you're not going to be focused on what you think are all the top gifts. You're going to understand we're all relevant to the project of Christ's church, building up of living stones to the praise of the glory of His grace. Let's pray to Him tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You for equipping us and helping us to understand what we are a part of. Forgive us for being so individually minded. And give us servants' hearts as we have received grace from You and heard Your wonderful gospel of love, and that You've reached down and pulled us out of slavery, as we saw this morning, and brought us to You and set us free. Now we become slaves of righteousness, serving the King. And so thank You for composing us and making us members of the body of Christ. May we treasure what we're a part of and never bury that talent. Forgive us for a low view of what You've done. Raise our view of Your work, the person and the work of Christ, the washing of our feet out of the roof, so that we might go and do the same. Be with us this week, and may we show forth that we belong to the King, servants of the Master, all the more as we look for the day that is approaching. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, California. If you like what you hear on Abounding Grace and you want to worship in a church where the person and work of Jesus Christ is central to the message, I invite you to visit one of our worship services every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. For more information about Christ United Reformed Church, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.